with us. Hope that you've been encouraged as we've gathered together so far, and hope that you open up your Bible to follow along as we go through the lesson. And make sure the truth is being taught, and hopefully be encouraged as we go through the lesson also. If you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be picking up our study there as we've been continuing to go through the life of Christ. Last week, we got into the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5. And went through, of course, talked about the mindset which we need to have. As we talked about, those blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are gentle, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who will suffer in the name of the Lord. And he also brought out, of course, in those Beatitudes that there is a reward with those attitudes, with that mindset, with those who are willing to do those things, right? First one was, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, shall be comforted, they shall inherit the earth, they shall be satisfied, they shall be full, they shall have mercy, they shall see God, they shall be called sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these are all things, of course, we strive to have a mindset of. We want those rewards that God has promised to us. And so with that, you follow right along with the Beatitudes, and the next thing we get into is the salt and the light. And so in my mindset, you're going from our attitudes and what we need to be ready to do, be ready to show mercy, ready to forgive, have a poor mindset to the point that we're not prideful and we're willing to submit to God. One who is always looking out for righteousness, looking and wanting to study the Word of God more, ready to suffer in the name of Christ, wanting to do what is right, one who has a pure heart. But then we go to these next few verses, and it's saying, now apply it, right? Now go forth and show that this is your attitude, that this is who you want to be. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. So the question of how can we be salty and bright, right? How can we be the salt? How can we be the light that goes forth into the world? So hope that you will follow along as we go through these points. And again, it's just really just those two points, right? Salt and light. And so I don't think it'll be a long lesson, but sometimes I get carried away. So what does salt and light do, right? That's a good way to start off a lesson when we talk about, are you salty? Are you bright? What does salt and light? You know, physically, that's what we're being compared to and what we're being told we are. And so we talk about salt. The main way we use it today is, of course, to seasoning our food. We put it on whatever you're cooking to give it more flavor. And so, of course, back then it was more pricey, I guess. It was actually worth money. It was worth to be part of payment, something that they could be paid with. You know, they had salt, enough salt, they would pay people with that. It was something they used to preserve food. You know, they didn't have the freezers we have today. Go put the food up and the cans and things that just real tightly seal it all and preserve the food the way we do today. But they simply had a bunch of salt and was able to preserve the food a little bit longer. The way in which they did it back then. So salt was very useful and still useful today. It's something in mindset for us of, you know, giving flavor, right? When something doesn't taste quite right, when you want to add to it, I don't know what everybody uses salt for. I use a whole lot of salt personally. But, you know, every now and then I'll add it to certain things. I know potato seems to be a main thing. I think I see Casey put it in, and I see Eleanor put it on her rice, and you know, some people might put it on their meat or their steak or something, and some might put it on some other stuff. You can put salt on stuff. You know, people will pour a bunch of salt on their Mexican chips. And so, you know, you add salt, why? Because it's going to add flavor. And so a question for us in mindset of, are we salty or are we flavorful? You know, what do we bring to our brethren, as we talked about this morning, and our encouraging or discouraging as we assemble together, or even in the mindset of the world, as we have neighbors and we have those co-workers and you go to school, of how can we bring flavor to them? How can we bring joy and mercy and kindness and humbleness, and how can we go forth and give that to them, right? That is what we're supposed to be like. We're something, you know, they are without Christ outside of the church. Outside of Christ, it's unflavorful. They got flavors of the world, and for some reasons, they think that's good. And sometimes you get caught with somebody. You're like, oh, this is the way I've always had it. But then you give them something that you've added that flavor to. You've done something different. They try that, and you're like, wow. Now, you're right. That's the way it needs to be done. And so those of you in the world might think they have something good going on, but if we can bring them to Christ by our saltiness, we need to do our part. And so the light is similar to that. What does light do with it? Is light. You know, darkness just is darkness. It just is. Right? You don't say we're going to make everything dark. You actually, you turn the lights off, and what's going to happen? It's going to get dark. Right? The sun goes on. When the world turns and it gets to, you know, we're not facing the sun anymore, what happens? It just gets dark. Because darkness just is. Again, you go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, and you read about creation, right? God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and what? Darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Why? Because darkness just is. It's just there. You take away all the light, and then it's just dark. You get outside of the city where there's no lights. It just is. But you bring light into it, and it shines forth, and it lets us see everything around us. Without the sun, it's just going to be dark. We're not going to be able to see the green trees. We're not going to be able to see the green grass. We're not going to be able to see the blue sky. We don't, you know, you don't see blue sky at night. It's just dark. And so light shines forth and lets people see. And again, when people are outside of Christ, they're in the dark. They don't see that cursing is. They don't see that there's a line drawn for what is modest and immodest. They don't see why abortion is wrong. They don't understand why homosexuality is a sin. They don't understand these things. That's the way of the world. Darkness, it's just there. But if we can bring the light of Christ to them and shine it forth and show them the truth in the Lord, then they can see what is real. What is the truth, the way? And that's what we're supposed to do. Read with me here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Right? So we need to be salt and light. We need to be salt and light. We need to be right salt. Try to come up with a tricky word, fun way to phrase that for Tosh. Really didn't have anything. So we need to remember that's who you are. You are supposed to be that. You are supposed to be the salt of the earth, giving flavor to the world. And that flavor needs to be the right flavor. It needs to be coming from Christ. You are the light of the world. That light needs to be coming from Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. If you open up your Bibles with me there, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. If you want to open your Bibles and turn along with me there. Here it reads, "Speaking of Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works." Right here, Jesus died so that he could gain us a special people, zealous for good works. Right, we're supposed to go forth and be doing good, zealous to do good, eager, ready, happy to go and do good deeds. And again, that's going along with this mindset that we are the salt of the earth. That we're happy to go forth and help other people when they need help. We're happy that when we have been blessed by God to have some extra income, to have extra this, and someone comes to you in need and need for assistance, you're ready to assist. You're ready to share the blessing that God has given to you and bless somebody else. And you're zealous that you're happy to do those things. Again, here in Titus chapter 2, if you go back a few verses, in verse 7 and 8, here as it's speaking again how we treat the older women and how we treat our younger women, how to treat the older and younger men, it brings out this point in verse 7. In verse 7 it says, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds. In everything, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." Right? And so as he goes forth and tells us to respect our elders, right? He says in verse 2, you know, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, love, perseverance. Older women likewise be reverent in behavior, not malicious, gossips, enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible, right? And then it says, be that example. You know, if you're going to teach the younger women these things, if you're going to teach the younger men these things, then what do you need to do? You need to be that light. You need to be showing them away, not just saying, coming, hey, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read here where it says, husbands, love your wives. Then we're going to go and show them, it says, live with your wives with understanding. And we're going to show them that they need to provide for their own unless they're an unbeliever. And then they look at you and go, you know, I see the verses you're reading, but you know, look around, that they're not doing these things. You know, as wives are trying to, or older women teaching the younger women, trying to show them to respect their husbands, to love them, to work, you know, live with them. You know, again, are we setting that example? Are we shining that light? Are we just showing the scripture and say, well, that's what the Bible says, but what I do is different? Again, same thing. So we encourage the young men to step up and start teaching classes, to step up and lead prayer, to step up and participate in worship, and encouraging the women to help step up and with the Lord's Supper, taking care of that, or walk up. And then as we do that, are we doing it ourselves, right? As we teach others, do we not teach ourselves? We need to set that example. We are zealous to do it ourselves, and we're zealous to help others, and we do the good deeds. And therefore, we are salty. We are the light. We're helping others just simply by our actions, right? Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and looking there in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we should walk in them. Right? Again, we are his workmanship. We are instruments of righteousness. And therefore, God expects us to be doing his work. If a tool breaks that you use for something, you keep it around. Or do we get rid of it? If it no longer does the job, it's broken and it can't do what you need it to do, what good is that tool? It's a question we have to ask ourselves, right? Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. I think I'm getting ahead of myself at that point. Titus 3 verse 8 says, this is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for me. We need to be doing good things. We need to be out there working and showing others the light of Christ to help lead them to the Lord, to go in the right direction, right? Making sure that as we work each day, that there is nothing anyone can bring against you, right? That they can't come and say, look what he's doing or look what he's not doing. No, Now, again, it's just the mindset of like the lesson this morning. If we tried to say, hey, you need to go to church. You need to read your Bible. You need to come with us. Come visit me here. But then here comes Sunday and they see you not at worship. How do we shine God's light and say, hey, you need to go to church, but then they see you not at church? They come and see you, you know, hey, you shouldn't be talking that way, but then you talk that way. We need to set the example. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians 2 and verse 14. It says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the words of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of service, your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with you. Right? If we live the proper way, then there's nothing that they can come back at you. But rather, on the opposite, in verse 16, he says, I have a reason to glory. You know, you guys do what is good, and then I know that while I was with you, it wasn't in vain because, you know, I taught you the truth, and I set a good example, and then you followed that. You followed the example of Christ that was going through me, and then we can glory together. And so I am joyful, and I hope that you're joyful, and we share that. See how that spread? My saltiness helped be someone else be salty. That's what Paul said. I was the light to you, and now you're light to others, and that brings me joy. Let that bring you joy. Let us make sure we are being the light of the world, that we're being the salt of the earth. James 2, verse 18, we can go all the way back to verse 14, work your way down to verse 26, says that Paul talks about faith without works, right? One has to have faith with his works. One has to have faith with his works. It's salt, if left just there in your jar, your little thing, whatever it's in, and you never get it out, pour it on any food, it's never going to salt, make anything salty. Light, if we never flip the switches, the room's going to stay dark. And then what good is it? It becomes worthless. Right? It becomes useless. It becomes a... What's the point of having it? That's what you read here in Matthew 5, right? It's verse 13, he brings out that point. How, you know, but if the salt has become tasteless, if you have tasteless salt, if you put it in the wrong spot, it got some water in it, it got something on it, and it becomes tasteless, it's lost, what good is it? How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. But to what? It's been thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Same thing with the light. Right? He goes forth and tells us, you know, one who turns on the light doesn't hide it. He says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city, if you choose to build it on the hill, and then you're like, why does everybody find where we're at? I was trying to hide. You know, if you play hide and seek and then you stand on the hill that has nothing surrounding you, you're not going to win. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Or under a lamp, you know, they put it on the lamps. You don't turn the lights on and then say, hey, go cover the light up. What good would that be? And again, the point is that God has blessed us with the light. God has blessed you with salt. But if you aren't being salty in the world, if you're not being the light of the world, then what good are you? Let's be just thrown out, trampled under. The bulb doesn't turn on, take it out, toss it, put a new one in.
So we need to be that light. We need to be that salt.
Titus chapter 3, verse 9.
Titus chapter 3, and looking there in verse 9, it says, "But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned."
Says this, there's not a point. There comes a time and point where you draw the line in the sand, is what we might say. I always hate saying that. But there comes a time and point where you warn somebody, and you warn them again, and then you warn them once more. And if we're following the pattern that we find in Matthew, right, that means you have a brother who sinned against you, you go and tell him his fault. If he does not hear you, what? Bring two or three witnesses. And if he doesn't listen to all of you, then you bring it before the church. It's your third time. If he doesn't listen to the church, then what? You withdraw. It's basically the same thing he's saying here. After warning him a couple times, avoid him. Saying this person has chosen to go in that direction. And that if you continue in it, it's just going to continue to bring heartache. It's going to continue to just cause more problems. It's going to continue to cause more strife. You're giving the opportunity to this person to pull other people away in the same actions that they're caught up in. It comes to point, says just avoid. Let it be. Don't keep going down that road. Now, down the road, it might happen that something has happened, something has pierced their heart. You have another opportunity to teach. I'm not saying you don't take it. I'm saying for the time being, though, you've given them more than one chance. They are not listening. They are stuck in their way. It's time to say, hey, you've chosen your path. So at this moment, we're going to have to go different ways. It becomes worthless. It says, don't go down that path. Don't keep on going back to it. Right? We don't want to get caught up in that point, to that point where we become worthless, where we get drawn away. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 5. Turn along with me over there. Jeremiah chapter 2 and looking at verse 5. It says, "Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty?" Forget what translation I grabbed the worthless part of it. But the emptiness was translated worthless. As it brings out that point, that it says they walked after worthlessness and became worthless. After emptiness and became empty. They left the Lord. They left God. Blamed God. And God said, here saying, well, what did I do? What injustice did your fathers find in me? What injustice did I do to your fathers that they left me and went to that? And so thank you. God has given us the light. Who's the light? Christ is the light. He's blessed us with his only begotten Son that came down and shined his light, became the best example for you and me. And then he died. And then he sent the Spirit and gave us the Spirit so that we can have it. We can open up the Bibles and study it. And he is there for us when we go to God and pray so that he knows and understands where our hearts are. God has blessed us. And then we go back to the worthless things of the world and become worthless ourselves. We go back to the empty things of the world and become empty ourselves. Don't do that. Don't go back into the world. James 1 and verse 26. Well, James chapter 1 and looking at verse 26. It says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." So again, here's saying, if you think that you are a Christian, that religious, but then you can't control your mouth. And then you go to James chapter 3, and we see how hard that is to do, right? He gives us a half the chapter talking about how hard it is to tame the tongue. But guess what? We're expected to do our best to tame. And when we fall short, to be quick to repent of it and ask for forgiveness. Because here it's telling us if we don't do that, it makes your faith worthless. That if you're going around lying, swearing, cursing, talking filth, gossiping, you're going to make your religion pointless. You're going to make being salt tasteless and need to be thrown out. You're going to be a light bulb that has went out and not leading anyone to Christ, because when they talk to you, they don't hear any good deeds, any words of encouragement, but rather grumbling and complaining and lies or whatever it may be. And you lead people astray. Don't become worthless. But rather, again, the point of all this is to glorify God. It tells us there in Matthew 5, to let your light so shine that they may see your works, right? People see your works and glorify God. We're supposed to let people see us be Christians out in the world. I believe I have two more verses here at this point, unless it'll be yours. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, looking there, and in verse 12, it says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I think this goes back to what we've been studying in Daniel, right? How many times with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just since we went through the first six chapters, have we seen the king come back? And again, the kings always go back on their word and start worshiping their own idols. But at the time and moment when they see the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they see the faith of Daniel, they see what they have done, they come back and say, glorify their God. Your God is great. You know, we just finished chapter 6 this morning, and it was, you know what? He made a decree saying no one will mock this God, and this God is the true God. This God is, you know, they glorify God. Why? Because of Daniel's faith. Because of Daniel's work. Because Daniel continued to pray. Because Daniel was delivered from the lions. How many people glorify God because the apostles were thrown into prison and they did not back down? They continue to teach. They continue to sing. They continue to pray. Right? We look at the example even of John the Baptist in John chapter 3. We understand everything we do here, everything we do upon this earth is to point to Christ. That as people may see you doing good, that you're the one that gave the money to somebody. You're the one that went to somebody's house and you helped them out. You did that good work. You're the one that got up here and led songs or gave an invitation or something. But then we don't take any credit. We don't take any glory. We give it all to God. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, as they come to him, as Jesus, his disciples are baptizing people now, and his John the Baptist's disciples come, like, hey, do you know what's going on? What's going on over here? What's John have to say? He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Right? His point was to lead others to the Lord. And that's what we must be doing. We must be going forth and shining His light. We must go forth and be salty and let people see the good that Christ has brought to you so that they can enjoy it also. We don't want to leave with extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here this evening, you need to obey the gospel. We want to encourage you to do that. If you know what you need to do, you need to come forward and repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized, and wash your sins away. We're happy to assist you. If we can pray for you or anything else, we let you know. Stand us.
As I know way, Lord, as I know way.